This is InvestTalk. Independent thinking, shared success. Justin Klein and Steve Peasley stand ready to take your finance and investment questions and share their unbiased answers. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. The clarity for your path forward starts now. Here is KPP Financial President, Financial Advisor, Steve Peasley.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Friday, December 9th, 2022. And of course, now, you know, we're into December, and time is going by pretty fast. Christmas is a couple weeks away, New Year's, and then we start 2023. So you got things to do before 2022 is up. You can't just not do anything. I know you're busy shopping, getting ready for the holidays, but you need to think about your tax loss selling. You need to think about gathering tax losses to apply to tax gains, and you have to do that before the end of the year. Realize your tax losses. Remember, you can apply $3,000 of your tax losses to ordinary income. So think about what losses you have in your portfolio and take them. And don't forget the wash rule. The wash rule. That means you can't sell a stock today, take the loss today, and then go buy the stock tomorrow and at a new price. You can, and then to still keep your tax loss selling. You got to wait 31 days between the sell to gather the tax loss to the buy when you want to buy it back. So if you want to even buy back that same stock, you have to wait 31 days or else you'll lose your wash rule apply and you wash away your tax loss. That's how that works. Now, you can buy something else, like you could sell a big oil company today and buy another big oil company today, a different one. You can do that and still keep your tax losses. So just remember the rules. And if you're unsure of them, ask. Talk to your accountant, ask. You got to make sure. Short-term losses against short-term gains, long-term losses against long-term gains. Okay? I'm Steve Peasley, and I'm here today on this radio program and podcast to help you make these kinds of decisions, to help you understand how the market works and how you work it. It's important. It's very important. The stock market is a very durable path to wealth over time. It works over time. Time means years, though. It doesn't mean months. It doesn't mean this quarter or this year. It means years. It takes years. But that's how you should be investing, over years, not just over a few days. That doesn't work very well. Okay? Phone number never changes. The phone number is 888-99-CHART. It's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And I've got lots of material to discuss with you today. My focus point concerns, here's your end financial to-do list. Now, I don't know if that's the only there's a bunch of steps, right? But I don't know if that's the only thing you have to do a year in, but it's a good start. Okay, to-do list, and we'll talk about that. Time permitting, I'm also going to talk about the economic news of the day. We had some inflation PPI news that I thought we'd share. Did you see Costco CEO vow to keep his $1.50 hot dog soda price? I think that's so interesting. $1.50, you get this big hot dog and pretty good and unlimited soda, really, for $1.50. That's a great price. Also, have we seen the high of the oil cycle? I think I mentioned this before a few weeks ago, a month or two ago. Have we seen the high? Seems like it's not wanting to move up. I frankly think we have, and I want to talk about it a little bit. And sector weightings for 2023. What are they today, and what should they be next year? Sector weightings. And this is from Argus Research. You know, this is what they think you should be doing. Those are things we're going to talk about. But, of course, as usual, you come first. Oh, we also will talk about some voice bank calls that came in. NRG Energy and Trustable Financial Website. Trustable Financial Websites. So I've got all this planned. But what do you want to talk about? Your live calls are first, as always. 888-99-CHART. The market was down. Dow down 305 points. NASDAQ down 77. And S&P down 29. I thought the market might have a bounce today, but when the PPI number came out, it was a little too high. Market didn't like it. And just slowly got worse as the day went by. It wasn't the worst day in the world, but, you know, the market's just not feeling very well. Hasn't felt very well all year long. We had a little rally in the mid-year, in the summer-ish time, but didn't last. Okay, let's go ahead and go to our first caller question. It's a voicemail.
Hey, Justin or Steve, this is Vince from Orlando. I know this question has been asked and answered before, but I could use a refresher. I have a Roth 401k through my employer, and in the event of leaving my employer, can you explain the steps of how to roll over your 401k? And I believe there was a certain verbiage you said to use that would ensure that you are not penalized when doing so. I'll listen on the show. Thanks.
You've used the term rollover. It's a rollover. So you're going to roll over your 401k. You're going to roll it over into a Roth IRA. So you have a Roth 401k. You roll it over to a Roth IRA. Okay? It's a rollover. That term rollover indicates to everybody that's being coming from a 401k. So what you do is you go to whatever brokerage house you want to use, Schwab, TD Ameritrade, E-Trade, whoever, and you say, hey, I have a 401k at my old employer, Roth 401k. I want to roll it over into a Roth IRA. Give me the paperwork. Or let's fill out the paperwork, and they'll be happy to do it for you. We do it all the time at our office. We'll do it. Do it all the time. We use TD Ameritrade. We like TD Ameritrade. They don't have any cost of trading, and, you know, many of them don't anymore. And, you know, they have a pretty good website and very good technology behind them. So we like them a lot. We're headed into a break. I welcome you to Financial Investment Questions. You set the agenda. Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. John from North Carolina, you just hang on. You'll be next.
In today's environment, it can be difficult to evaluate and then adequately adjust for the hazards introduced by the various forces affecting the markets. So KPP Financial is preparing a special wealth webinar, Income Opportunities in a Rising Rate World. The webinar will be led by KPP Principal and InvestTalk host Justin Klein. This free online wealth webinar will be presented live Thursday, December 15th, 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Learn more and register now at InvestTalk.com.
Serious investors know building a secure financial future requires hard work and determination. That's why now, more than ever, when it comes to the planning, execution, and maintenance of your portfolio, you need InvestTalk. The InvestTalk listener line is open. Don't forget to call. InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
Now, each time I host the InvestTalk podcast, I have the satisfaction of taking caller questions and then breaking down the often complex dynamics involved. If you've never called, don't hold back. You can leave your InvestTalk questions on the 24/7 anytime listener line at 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, that's our number. Love to talk to you. Let's talk to John in North Carolina. Hi, John.
Hey, Steve, how the heck are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Hey, I've accumulated a number of shares through my employer, which is LabCorp, symbol LH.
Okay.
And earlier this year, they announced that they would be spinning out their clinical development business, which is about 25 or 30% of the company.
Okay.
Since I've accumulated those shares at a discount through the employee stock program, I'm kind of curious as to what types of, like, capital gains or tax liabilities I might be exposed to, given that I wasn't planning on selling. So can you speak to what the tax considerations are when there's a spin out? Like, does the cost basis get reset, or do I owe taxes upon issuance of the shares? I'd just be curious to understand that a little bit better if there is a standard process that's followed.
Well, I'll tell you this. It gets very confusing, and a lot of this gets lost in the paperwork and time, especially if you're going to hold on to it over the next 10, 15 years, you know. Because way back 10, 15 years ago, people are going to try to figure out, well, what was your tax? What was your cost basis? What? And no one even knows. No one knows, you know, because it's so old history. Now, it's not gone. They still can look it up. But I'm telling you that the IRS will never be able to figure it out and won't even ask the question. I'm just pointing that out. Now, there is a cost basis. When you spin off part of a company, let's say you spin off 25% of the company, okay, and you're going to get, you know, a 25, you're going to get stock of the new spinoff, right? Because you own the stock. So you're going to get stock of the new spinoff. And your cost basis, now I'm not an expert on this, but I think your cost basis is whatever it is at the time of the spinoff. So if it's $25 a share, the cost of spinoff, that was your cost basis. And the original shares of your company, you still have that old cost basis. Now, I'm not sure of that. They could have a formula where, you know, the cost basis is, you know, you got it at a discount, the cost basis is going to be X, Y, Z. Are you still buying the stock, by the way?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've been doing it for about 8 years. I participate at the max level for the program. So it's my largest holding substantially. And so what I was wondering is, you know, if when they do that spin out, like, are they basically, even if I don't sell, would they hit me with a tax bill? Or if the cost basis resets, I might just sell those spin out shares and, you know, move that money somewhere else.
Yeah, I would check very carefully if the cost basis is at the spin off basis. You know, in other words, they say you're going to get 25. You're going to get 150 shares at $25 a share. That's what they are. And then you can sell them for $25 a share and you have no tax consequences. I would do that because you're going to be gathering more and more and more of your shares, you know, of your basic company. Unless you think the spinoff is more valuable than the original company. See, there's a lot of balls in play here that you have to think about. Yeah. And I'm just telling you that it's going to be very difficult for anybody to keep track over the years what your cost basis is going to be. Because when they spin off at $25, I'm just picking $25 as a number. When they spin that off, that $25 come off your original company stock price. It goes down $25. So your profit is not as much as it was, but it really is because you got a piece of another company. So it makes it very difficult. You're going to have to talk to your accountant about this. Make sure you get it right. Okay? John, that's a great call and a good question, really a good question. Let's go to Paul in San Francisco. Wants to talk about interest rates.
Yes, talk about interest rates. I've been hearing that higher interest rates have a bullish effect on the price of financial stocks. Is there a reason for that to happen? Can you tell me what that is?
Yes, because they make more money. Remember, their borrowing cost is always low, right? Their borrowing costs. So, but their borrowing costs go up when interest rates go up because the Federal Reserve is raising rates. But they generally are able to stay ahead of it by passing those interest rates to you and me and everybody else. It's only when we fall into a recession that it really starts to bite them. And that's the fear. That's why the financial stocks, some are not doing very well, because the fear is, hey, we're going to go into recession, and then that they won't make as much money. But just plain old rising interest rates is really a beneficial thing for banks. Okay? It really is. Okay?
Yeah, I own some of that too.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Paul. Appreciate the call. Yeah, the banks can make more money because they raise interest rates, just like the Fed raises interest rates. And, of course, who's the one who suffers? Us, you and me. Of course we do. We pay for everything, everybody. Don't ever think corporations pay for things. No, they pass the cost along. Don't ever think that you know, whatever the government does raises tax on corporations or raises tax on oil, you know, prices or whatever it is. It's you and I who's going to pay for it. That's who pays for it, the consumer. And that's just how it works. So don't ever cheer that, oh, good, the companies are paying more taxes. Well, that means they just got to keep their profit margins by increasing their prices to you and me. And they do that. History, take a look at history. You don't have to believe me. It's Friday, so the weekend is here, everybody, or at least almost here. In the meantime, you must have some financial investment questions, and I'd like to hear them. Remember, you set the program. This is Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
The holiday season is here. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are on duty, and they welcome your finance and investment questions. Call Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART is our number, everybody. 888-992-4278. So a year-end bucket to-do list. Well, we're talking about financial stuff, right? We always do here on the show. So the year-end bucket to-do list is all about financial. First thing you really should do, especially if you're in retirement, and basically that's what I'm talking to, those guys like me, in retirement or moving to retirement or approaching retirement, you got to check in your spending rate. Check what your spending rate is. What are you spending? If you're in retirement, you got to check what you're spending in retirement. How much are you eating into your retirement reserves? Okay, and then after that, once you figure that out, I spent $100,000 this year. Then figure out, well, what's your asset basis and how much income did you have this year? That's from Social Security, any retirement accounts. And I would count income from my investments, not just my investments, but income. That's what I'm going to be doing. How much income am I producing? I'm going to just spend my income, hopefully. Now, you can spend like 4-4.5% of your holdings. You can do that, and it still should not run out of cash. But I like to, I'm more conservative than that. So that means you size up how much buckets of money you have and what it produces. Where's that money coming from? Okay, at the same time you're doing that, see if that's going to be long-term. For instance, if you have dividend-paying stocks or bonds that are going to pay you 6% or whatever it is, how many years are you going to get that? If bonds come due, you might be able to get higher yields because interest rates are rising. Okay? And, of course, year in, you always have to take a look at your rebalancing needs. And we just talked about that at the top of the show about maybe tax loss selling and, how to apply that to taxable gains and things. That's always very, very important. If you don't know how to do this, get your accountant involved. Get people involved that know how to do this to help you. Okay, and don't forget to tie in your charitable contributions. How much did you give? Because that, you get to deduct that. Okay? And that's it. Nothing more than that. And it's not rocket science. You can do it. Okay, since it's Friday, I always give you a rundown on the primary numbers. For instance, the 2-year treasury yield is 4.3% now. Remember a year ago, it was 0.65? 0.64, 50 weeks ago, is 0.64%. Now it's 4.3%. Thank you very much, Federal Reserve. They've been raising the rates. A 10-year treasury, 3.53%. Okay, and 48 weeks ago is 1.7. So notice that a year ago, the yield curve was normal. The shorter treasuries were paying less than the longer treasuries. Now, the longer treasuries are paying less than the shorter. The shorter one's paying 4.3, and the longer, the 2-year, 4.3. 10-year, 3.5. That's not normal. That's abnormal. And it usually is a signal for a recession coming. Okay, gold. Last week was $1,794 an ounce. 3 weeks ago was $1,751. Let's see, how long ago? Let's go back. 43 weeks ago, it was 1806. So it hasn't done nothing in a year. Nothing. Silver, same kind of thing. 2305 last week, and 37 weeks ago, it was 2394. Not much. So gold and silver has done nothing for 2022. Okay, will they do something for 2023? Who knows? Why didn't it do anything for last year? Because the dollar rose in strength as the Federal Reserve was raising rates. The U.S. economy is the strongest one economy in the world, and they're raising interest rates, and so the dollar got much stronger. And therefore, gold doesn't go up when the dollar is strong. It does go up when there's lots of inflation, but not when you have lots of inflation and the dollar's going up much bigger, much just along with it. It's just been an unusual situation. That's the way it is. How about oil? Our favorite thing to talk about, oil. Okay, last week, regular gasoline, $3.31. $3.57 43 weeks ago. $3.31 now, $3.57 a little less than a year ago. California, it's $4.60. Yay. Isn't that great? For comparison, Missouri, if I wanted to live in Missouri, is $2.86. $1.74 cheaper than in California. Okay, let's get back to the voicemail question. We'll have to get to that right after this break. I spoke too long. We're heading into a break. Justin and I are happy to play your recorded voice bank questions, but of course we love the live calls even more. So our number never changes and it never closes. The number is 888-99-CHART.
Your objective is to work hard, plan well, and achieve financial freedom, right? You're in luck because Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your finance and investment questions. Call 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin. This is Steve from Pennsylvania. Really love the show. I'm calling about NRG Energy, NRG. A couple days ago, made an announcement about an acquisition that went over like a lead balloon, and they crashed. Before I realized or saw the news, they were already 15% down, and they lost another 4.5% today. So I guess I have a question about when you're in a situation, or you know, if me being in a situation like this, this reduction is 2% of my portfolio, so it's not a huge chunk. Do I just ride this out? I mean, it is a utility, so it has a certain amount of stability. But yeah, the market definitely doesn't approve of the merger. So would you cut your losses in this sort of situation or stick it out? Thanks. I'll listen for the answer on the show.
Now, see, that's a very good question because this happens to us all at some point in time. If you're an investor, it happens to everybody. So this company's going along. It's a utility, pretty stable company. NRG Energy, $7.5 billion in size, supplies electricity in Texas, generates wholesale power, and trades energy and capacity in the United States. And they announced a few days ago that they're going to buy Vivint Smart Home for $2.8 billion. Remember, they're only a $7.5 billion company, so they're going to take about a third of their money, a little less than a third, and spend it on this company. And the market said, that's not very smart. So the stock was selling at $40. Now today it's at $32. So what do you do when it happens to you? Because by the time you see it, it's already happened to you. Generally speaking, and I'm just going to generalize here, generally speaking, you do nothing. Generally, don't do anything. Okay, because the initial fall, which you just had, is sometimes you'll get a 50% retracement. And if you were going to sell it, you wait for that retracement. Not always, but more often than not, that can happen. But remember, you bought this energy company because it's paying a 4.3% dividend. You didn't buy it necessarily for the growth. And they're going to make $5.31 next year. That's not as much as this year, $6.65, or as much as last year at $8.93. But at $5.31, and it's a $32 stock, you're still talking about a 6.7 PE, 6 point something. So it's not expensive. It really isn't. Return equity is very high at 83. Cash flow is very strong at $13.21 a share. So, you know, even though I don't like this purchase, but that's just me. You got to stick with the company for a while and see. You should investigate, well, why did they buy this company? What's the bottom line for it? What are they going to make out of this company? Is it a cash flow cow, or is it something that's not very smart? That's what you have to look up. And if you don't like the deal because you think it's not a smart move, then that's another reason to sell. But not there's no reason to sell a company just because it falls sharply in a day or two. That's not a reason to sell a company. Okay? Hope that makes sense to you. Okay, we had wholesale PPI inflation numbers today, and that's why the market didn't like it. The market was up in pre-market opening. It was up, and it looked like we were going to have a little bit of recovery today. And then the PPI came out, producer price index, and the overall number was up 0.3%. They're expecting it to be up 0.2%. It was up 0.3% last month, so that didn't look too bad. But then if you took the core number, you saw that the core number is up 0.4%, worse. Inflation still here. That's why. Sentiment numbers, consumer sentiment numbers, it was up 59.1. They expected it to be 56. It was 56 last month. So it was a little bit better. Sentiment was a little bit better. And the University of Michigan 5-year inflation expectation, really not that bad at 3%. Now, that's what they expect. I don't think they're right. I think it's going to be higher than that 5 years from now. That's me. Too bad we can't write that down somewhere, somebody, and then 5 years from now I'll call up and remind me what we said, what I said. And we'll see if I'm right. I don't know. I just think we're living in a time of higher inflation for the time being, higher than the 3% long-term inflation rate of the United States. Did you know that what that was, the U.S. inflation rate? 3.3, I think, is a long-term inflation rate for the United States. 3.3%. I think we're going to be running higher than that for the next 5 years. So that's what I think. So let's keep moving. Let's swing back to another InvestTalk Voice Bank question. 888.
All right, guys. Love the show. This is Alan from Hayward. When I'm researching companies on websites like Morningstar, FinViz, Yahoo Finance, Mergent Online, they all have different information for many of the company's ratios. For example, the return on assets ratio is different on all four of those websites for the same company. I tested it with multiple companies, and not only were they all off, sometimes the ratios were significantly different. How do I know which website to trust? Clearly, at least three of them are wrong, or maybe all four. I'm using the free version of all four of these websites. Could that be the reason why they're giving me inaccurate information? Thanks again. Love the show.
Very good question. And it's been true. What you've discovered has been true for decades. Now, one of the problems is when you're looking at ratios, PE ratios, return on equity, return on assets, liquidity ratios, any liquidity ratios, is that you have to figure out how are they computing. Are they using, this is, for instance, I'll give you three different ways they compute it. And they're all exactly correct, but they'll all be different numbers. For, let's say, are they computing it based on last year's number? The most recent complete full year, 2021, it was this number. Or are they using the rolling 12 months, the last 12 months, because everything changes every month, right? So that they're using the last 12 months numbers. Okay, well, that would be very different than last year's numbers. Or are they using estimates for the coming year? There's three ways to look at one number, any of the numbers, return equity, return assets, PE ratio, and there's three ways right there. Three ways that can give you vastly different numbers. And none of them are wrong. This is one, and I'm not going to get into the other issues, but this is one reason why your ratios are, why are they all over the place? What's wrong with this? So what you have to do, and what I've been telling people on this radio show for well over two decades, you have to decide which ratios you want to focus on, and I would always suggest, and always have, look at the forwards, the estimates coming up. What do those ratios say? And use those. Now, when you look at free websites and things, they don't necessarily tell you how they compute it. That's just the way it is, everybody. I'm sorry. We're moving into a steady pace toward the end of this year. Pretty steady. Only 3 weeks remaining. 3 weeks remaining in 2022. And, of course, the stock market is still changing. Will we get a rally, a Christmas rally? You know, that many times market rallies between Christmas and New Year's for a few days. Will we get it this year? You know, I think it's so unreliable that it's almost not worth even talking about, personally speaking. But if you want us to help you with your situation, whatever financial situation you find yourself in, we would love to help you. But, of course, you have to take the initiative. You have to call. I'm Steve Peasley. Justin and I at KPP Financial, we're located in North County, California, between L.A. and San Diego. We help people all over the country, and we can help you. So, you know, we operate a little bit different than most people. You know, KPP Financial, our firm, we have, you know, our philosophy is independent thinking and shared success. In other words, we think independently, that we buy data, but we don't buy everybody's recommendations and do this and do that. And here's a portfolio you should use and just buy this for your client. We don't do that. And we also stand by what we do. We put our own money into the things we tell people to buy. We buy them. That's what we mean by shared success. Independent thinking, shared success. We provide unbiased guidance. We don't have anybody that we have to kowtow to. It's unbiased. And we would love to help you with your portfolio. We would love to just take a look at it and maybe and talk to you to see if you want to be aggressive, conservative, or do you want to move from being aggressive to more conservative because you're getting older. We'll be happy to help you do that. You don't even have to become a client. We'll still help you do it. We'll take a look and give you suggestions what you can do to do that. I think after a few minutes speaking with us, you'll see that we're a bit different than other people. And we want to help you. We really do. I mean, I know people think we don't. I mean, just like everybody else. No, we don't. We don't sell products. We don't make commissions on things. We don't sell insurance and make big commissions on those. We don't. We're on the same side of the table as our clients. So give us a call. We'd be happy to, or send us an email. Either way, we'll help you. 888-99-CHARTER is our number, 888-992-4278. This is InvestTalk. We thank you for downloading and telling your friends and family about our podcast. Next up, we'll play another question, so hang on.
In today's environment, it can be difficult to evaluate and then adequately adjust for the hazards introduced by the various forces affecting the markets. So KPP Financial is preparing a special wealth webinar, Income Opportunities in a Rising Rate World. The webinar will be led by KPP Principal and InvestTalk host, Justin Klein. This free online wealth webinar will be presented live Thursday, December 15th, 2 p.m. Pacific Time. Learn more and register now at investtalk.com.
Hi, Stephen, Justin, a longtime listener here from Minnesota. I have a question for you guys on a stock that I purchased a while ago, ARLP. It's a coal stock, I believe, in energy sector. The stock had good reports and numbers and stuff. However, I'm kind of frustrated. The stock is still right around the same price that I purchased it at earlier in the year. It hasn't done anything. I'm wondering, when this happens with a stock, and it's been almost a year, do you still hang on to it, or do you just dump it and look for something else with better numbers or something that's moving better at this time, or just sit on cash for a while and see what's going to be upcoming here in the next year? I'll be looking forward to hearing your response on the show. Thank you, guys. Have a good day.
Okay, this is Allianz Resource Partnerships, Partners Limited Partners. It's an MLP, Master Limited Partner, engaged in the production and marketing of coal to utilities and industrial users in the United States, $2.7 billion company. And everybody hates coal, right? Government, regulators, everybody hates coal. And look, actually, I feel this stock's done very, very well. Remember, you got to remember, what did the market do last year? Down 20% or more. What did this stock do for the year? Flat. But what dividend did you get? 9.4%. So if you bought it and had done nothing, you still got 9.4% return on your money. That's excellent. That's just very good. Right? That's the dividend they paid. Return on equity 16%. Earnings are going up. $4.22 a share this year after making $1.36 last year. Next year, you're going to make $6.32. So it's a $21 stock. So it tells you, you know, it's cheap, right? PE is very, very low. Return on equity 16. You don't sell it just because it hasn't moved. What you do is you look at, well, why did I buy this stock? Did I buy it for capital appreciation? And I would suggest to you that, you know, utility stocks don't have much capital appreciation. You probably, your reason for buying is probably for the dividend, which is 9.4%, and it performed by paying that dividend. So I think it's done quite well in relationship to the rest of the market. If you were in a tech stock, let's say you didn't have this one, let's say you had a tech stock, you'd be down 30% instead of flat. See, so always, always, always consider why you bought the stock and compare it with the market, because most stocks go up and down with the market. This one didn't. So I think it's done quite well. Now, going forward, you know, I think it's still going to do okay if oil prices stay pretty high. We'll see. Okay? Thanks for the call. I appreciate the call. That was a good question. 888-99-CHART. Have we seen the high in oil stock prices? Or oil, not oil stock prices, but the high in oil. Have we seen the high in 2022? You know, it got up, what, $106 a barrel? I don't remember exactly where it was. A little over $100 a barrel. Today it was 80, 88, 89, 90, somewhere in there. I don't watch it every day like every other people. I just keep track on, you know, anything, doing anything abnormal. So have we seen, is that it? I'm going to oil. Oil was $71.58 a barrel today. $71.58. I had an argument with somebody, and I'm trying to remember who it was. Maybe somebody in my office. I said that I don't think oil is going to do much next year. I don't think it's going to go up. Someone is under $90. You know who it was with? It was with a relative over Thanksgiving. I don't think it's going to break over $100 a barrel. And we bet 90. I said, I don't even think it's going to get to 90. He thought for sure it would be above 90 by next Thanksgiving. We'll see. I don't think so. I have my reasons. I don't mind sharing them. This is InvestTalk. I'm Steve Peasley. We have one goal here, to help you achieve financial freedom, everybody. We want to help you do that. We really do. 888-99-CHART.
The stock market is volatile. It's constantly changing. So how are you positioned? Is your portfolio properly balanced? Or are you taking unnecessary risks? You can get guidance anytime for free if you go to investtalk.com and take the brief Riskalyze quiz.
Hi, Justin. This is Bill. I have a question regarding IR and BAC. Both seem to be passing two large, I guess, call it W's in their charts. I was wondering if it's too late to buy both of them. Thank you.
So what he's looking at is a chart, everybody. He's looking at a pattern called a W pattern, which is whether it's bullish or bearish. And he wants to know what he should do. Well, when the chart breaks above the left-hand side of the W, that's a buy signal. Until then, it's not anything. It's just an in process of putting together a W pattern. I wouldn't consider anything significant until it breaks above the left-hand side of where the W started. Okay, and that's, we're talking about, okay, you know, there's two ways to look at companies, right? Fundamentally, and that's what I always suggest you look at them first. Fundamentally means, what are the numbers? What's their growth? What's their earnings? What's their prospects? The fundamentals of the company. And then there's the technicals, and that is, well, what are the buyers and sellers doing? What is the stock price doing up and down over the last year, 3 years, 5 years? And is there patterns that you can recognize? And yes, there are patterns, okay, that develop. And these stock charts, stock patterns, tend to be true. But it's not a science, everybody. It's an art. It doesn't always come true. And it's not something that you can say, gee, I'm going to buy and sell based on these charts, and that's it. That's all I need to know. That is totally wrong. You buy and sell a stock based on the fundamentals of the company. The chart only helps you pick a point where to buy and sell. That's all that has. That's all I think it ever helps you with. Okay? Okay, sector weight for 2023. What should your sector's weightings be? How about maybe you should overweight basic materials, healthcare, industrials. And pretty much the same as this year, really. Market weight, probably energy. This is from Argos Research, by the way. They said market weight, energy, tech, real estate, financial services, and utilities. You know what I don't feel comfortable with? With tech and energy. I'm sorry, tech and real estate. I'm fine with energy and financial services and utilities. Underweight, consumer discretionary. Okay, I can get that. Communication services and consumer staples. Maybe not consumer staples. I kind of like that. And I can understand why they want you to underweight communication services because they've been beat up so bad. But my gut tells me maybe you should be buying those after being beat up so bad because they pay really great dividends. I mean, AT&T, for instance, went down to close to $14 a share, $14-something dollars a share. Now it's at 19. And at 19 right now, the dividend rate is 5.8%. Huh. What's the P/E ratio? It's a $19 stock, going to make $2.55 next year. Huh, that's pretty cheap. I buy it for the dividend. I don't care about anything else. It's going to be very, very steady. So, you know, really, when you see these kind of weightings, well, what are you doing with your, what kind of portfolio do you have? What's your goal? What's your, you know, is it income? Is it growth? Is it high speculation, low speculation? What's your strategy? What do you want to do? And that's what you first decide with your money. What's going to be your strategy? And you can have two different strategies for different parts of your portfolio. There's nothing wrong with that. You can have for part of your portfolio, let's say X dollars. This X dollars is for income, conservative income, growth. These X dollars is for high risk, high growth. You can do that. The only thing I ask is that you recognize that's what you're doing. That you know that that's what you're doing. And that's the plan. I'm okay with that. I'm Steve Peasley, and this completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein and I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. Get your downloads anytime at iTunes, Google Play, and or Spotify. And we want to thank you. We have achieved 47.8 on our way to 50 million downloads. That's great. We thank you very much. Please be sure to review and rate us if you do download on iTunes. That will help our profile. We like that. Independent thinking and shared success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend, everybody.
InvestTalk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is president, and Justin Klein is chief executive officer of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.